Joy and grace to you from Jesus our King, who died for us and rose again for our salvation. Amen. Amen. All right, we're continuing our sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount, called so because Jesus spoke it on a mountain, right? Can you picture yourselves up there right now? Up there in the rocky crags, the lofty heights, up amongst maybe some green rolling grass and rocky outcroppings, and there Jesus sits down, leans upon a rock, and his disciples are up there with him in a quiet place with this great vista all about them, perhaps even above the clouds, who knows, and speaks to them these words about the coming kingdom of God, especially the character and heart of those who are to be members of it. And we've looked at the first couple of things Jesus has said. Let's pick up the next verse. We read there that seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, then we go to verse 5. He said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What's that mean? What's he talking about? What's Jesus after here? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. If you think about that, that's actually, once again, like the rest of these parts of this sermon, the opposite of the way the world thinks, right? Upside down. It's the world exalts those who are not meek. It exalts those who exalt themselves, who have a grandiose vision of who they are. You know, I'm big, I'm number one, I'm the best. And the whole history of mankind, our race, if you think about history, it's a catalog of people who are not meek, basically, right? I mean, you have Alexander the Great and Charlemagne and Napoleon and Hitler. They weren't meek. They were mighty in their own eyes, and they thought the earth belongs to them to claim it, right? Opposite of what Jesus is saying here. You can go into our day. Same kind of thing. You got the political realms, right, where people greedy for power grabs exalt themselves. There are sports. You know, you see the guy who taunts all of his adversaries. He's not just a good athlete, which is great, but he has a super puffed up, blown over vision of himself. He's like, "I'm number one and the world serves me. I claim and lay hold of the earth," right? You can go onto the schoolyard and see this, right? With bullies who are not meek, who want to aggressively superimpose themselves and their idea on a little kid who is meek. And he says, you know, "The meek shall inherit the earth. No way. I rule the school ground. This is my place," right? You can go into any walk, from, you know, political to military to sports to business and trade, you'll see that the world is the opposite of what Jesus said up there on that mountain above the clouds in the recesses of the higher places of this mountain. "The meek shall inherit the earth," Jesus says. It's the opposite of the way the world thinks. So it's good for us to talk about this today so we can make sure our thinking is 180 degrees opposite from the world. Because that's the kingdom of God that never fades in glory. This world fades, okay? So meek, what is Jesus talking about? What does it mean to be meek? Meek, meek, meek. What does that mean? Sounds like weak, right? A lot of people think it means weak. Some say that meek means you're a pushover, right? You're a wimp. You're a meek person. And actually, if you look it up in Webster's Dictionary, it's maybe not the best word to look up because it says, "Enduring injury with patience and without resentment." That's okay. "Not violent." That's okay. "Or strong." Okay, so meek means not strong, according to Webster. "Deficient in spirit and deficient in courage." And I want to ask you, is that really what Jesus is saying here? You guys should be deficient in your spirit, deficient in your courage, and not strong? No way. Look at Jesus. Is he the meekest of all the earth? Say amen. Was he meek? Was he a pushover? Was he a wimp? Was he some like sort of cream puff that you could just squash? Anybody came up against him, they were running against the wall, right? I mean, you have the Pharisees. They try to attack Jesus, and Jesus says, "You serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell?" He scolded them strongly. He came up against false teachers. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut the kingdom of heaven against men. You neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in." He railed against people's impenitence, refusing to repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! Etc. He railed against the evil politicians of his day. He said about Pharaoh, go and tell that fox, behold, I perform cures and cast out demons, and on the third day I finish my course. He speaks to the weather, all right? Peace, be still. And the whole place calms down like that, like the dropping of a curtain when Jesus speaks. When he was against demons, Jesus said, be silent and come out of him. And the demon came out, having done him no harm. When Satan himself, with all might and self-aggrandizement, exaltation, comes against Jesus, Jesus puts him in his place and says, be gone, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And when Jesus comes as king on the last day, on the great day, on the clouds of heaven, on the great and manifest day to execute his judgment on the earth with rigor and dispatch, he's no wimp, right? He's no pushover. He's not some cannoli that you're ready to squash under your hand. He is the mighty king on a white horse. So obviously, when Jesus says you should be meek, he's not saying you should be a pushover or a wimp, as the world would often want to take this, right? And that's why, by the way, just as an aside, that's why I can't stand some of the pictures that are put out there of Jesus, where he just looks like such nothing. You know, he's just so nothing. He is, if you look at him in the Bible, he is strong in power, in spirit, and in courage. And he told Joshua, be strong and have good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to them. Be strong and of very courageous. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. So just get it out of your minds right now that meek means you need to be some sort of wimp. Okay, that's not what Jesus is saying here. So what's he mean? Well, if we look up that word in the Greek, it's praus. Can you say that? Praus, as I pronounce it. It means lowly in heart, gentle, tender, of a humble character and attitude in your heart. These are those who are to be members of God's kingdom, those who have a lowly, kind, and gentle heart. There's a synonym, easy for me to say, right? A cinnamon, and sugar. In the Greek, epios, which means gentle, of a soothing disposition, humble. Another synonym is malakos, which means soft or tender in heart. The opposite is the word orgulos, which means prone to anger or quick-tempered, or anemeros, which means savage or fierce. So the world is all into savage, fierce exaltation of self. I'm the king, follow me, and all this stuff. And grabbing onto it and saying, I lay hold of the earth. And Jesus says, no way. It's the meek, those who are of a humble and gentle spirit to whom God gives the earth in the world to come. Gentle, lowly, of a good nature and a quiet spirit, which in the eyes of the world is disgusting, isn't it? They hate the word meek. They don't want the word meek. But Jesus says, that's the word you got to go after, my people. Lower yourselves down. The servant's heart is a meek heart. You know, I'm trying to think about this, you know, 10 minutes ago when I put this together. No, just kidding, no. I was thinking about what would be a good picture of this? And I thought of a U.S. Iraqi war soldier. You know, he is there in his battle garb, in his camo. I see gunpowder splotches on his face. He's fresh from the heat of battle. And there he is holding a little child with all tenderness and care. And the child is clutched to his chest, and he's there to protect. Or I see him getting down on his knees and giving this child, you know, taking out a little kerchief of sorts and wiping the child's tear. Strong and powerful, and yet so tender, so gentle, so lowliness of heart. This is what Jesus is after with us. Here are a few quotes I found. If you think that meek is weak, just try being meek for a week. Right? Try that. It's hard. It's hard. It takes strength. Meekness is not weakness. It's strength under control. Think about that. The world's power is all out of control power. A Christian spirit with great strength holds himself to lowliness and kindness and gentleness when it might want to feel to go otherwise. It's strength under control. Weakness is called a lack of physical strength, but meekness is the strength of your spirit. It requires great character to have it. Meekness isn't weakness, but being strong enough to let someone else come before you in all lowliness and gentleness and humility of heart. Can you do that? It's tough. It's the work of the Spirit inside of you. Who are the great men honored in God's sight in the Bible? It says of Moses, Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all men who are upon the face of the whole earth. Now, was he strong? I mean, this guy speaks to the Red Sea, and God does wonders through him, parts it, but he was humble, he was lowly. He spent time in God's presence, which humbles him. David himself said, "Who am I, O Lord? And what is my house that you've brought me thus far?" David was meek. He thought little of himself, much of God. Gideon said, "Pray, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I'm the least in my family. But God did great things through the meek." Mary, when she was told about Jesus being born in her, from her womb, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." She was meek in heart, and God did wondrous things to even put his own son into her womb and be born. "He's put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree," calls Mary. And then Paul, remember, he was savage, he was fierce, he was ravaging against the church, but when he was converted, he took the name Paul, which in Latin means small, little, or humble. Isn't that cool? So meek. But God did great things through them. I think of an earthly example, and I don't want to get political with you guys, all right? So don't think this is a political comment, but I was thinking to myself, who kind of comes to mind? And I thought, Ben Carson, And I don't know where you stand with all the political things, but when I see him, even when he's criticizing you, it's like you can hardly tell it's a criticism. Kind, gentle, lowliness of heart. I'm not saying we have to have that kind of his personality, but that attitude of heart, whether you're fierce and strong in words or not, the attitude of humility and kindness and gentleness and correcting your opponents with gentleness, the meek, that's what God says, aim after. This is the spirit of those who are in my kingdom and who to whom belongs the world. Think of God, okay? Why does God delight in meekness so much? Because our God is meek. That's kind of amazing. He says to Job, putting Job in his place, "Hey, can you shut in the sea with doors, Job, like I can? Can you prescribe bounds for the sea and set bars for it and say, thus far you shall come and here shall your proud waves be stayed?" I mean, God has the power to stop the sea a couple of blocks over this way. And yet Jesus, with all that strength, says to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, for I'm gentle and I'm lowly in heart, and you're going to find rest for your souls." Isn't that great that the King, with whom you're going to spend eternity, by the way, is friendly, he's kind, he's gentle, he's of a low heart. Tender is he, meek, though great. And that's why he delights in it, because it's his own characteristic. And that's the beauty of his kingdom. He delights in this and all of his people. What a great world it's going to be, amen? Oh, yeah. Our King is lowly, meek, kind, and gentle. Think of how he took care of that adulterous woman in John 8 and said, "Go and sin no more. I don't condemn you." That's gentle and meek. Think on the woman of the night, or whomever she was, that sinful woman of Luke 7, who fell at Jesus' feet and was weeping before the King, her tears on his feet to wash them with her hair. What does the King do to her? Exalt himself, rail against her, say, "It's good that you're on your knees." Well, it is good that she's there, but he says, "Go in peace. Your faith has saved you." Jesus, before he goes to the cross, he gets down on his knees in all meekness and washes the feet of his people, just like he does for you. He does that for you because he's your friend. He's gentle. He's lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. So let the law of God humble you, as we all need to be humbled from our pride. And let the Spirit create in you the King's heart. For it is written, "For the fruit of the Spirit is," and you raise your hand for as many of these as you think are meekness. Ready? "Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." All these things are meek right in there. And against such, there's no law against you. Paul says, put on as God's chosen ones compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, patience, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace and forgiving each other. And women, don't let yours be the outward adorning with braiding of hair. You know, don't be Miss Glamour Queen. Let yours be the hidden person of the heart with a quiet and gentle spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Would you say your husband would say that of you? Maybe not always, but a quiet and gentle spirit is God's very precious in his sight. So what's the great promise to the meek of the earth? It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. God's going to give it to you. Right now, the whole world thinks the meek get nothing, right? You're going to get squashed. And the savage and the fierce and the self-exalting rule the earth and take it by force. But God says, not so. Jesus says, notice this is a future tense. It's coming quickly, but it's not here yet. The meek don't get it yet, but it says the meek shall inherit the earth. This is the royal decree of the King of Heaven, which cannot be altered and will find its day of fulfillment. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people and he adorns the humble with victory. Amen. That's great. Listen to this one from Isaiah 11, speaking of the Christ. It says, with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips destroy the wicked. Isaiah 29 says, the meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall exult in the Holy One of Israel, for the ruthless shall be come to naught and scoffer cease, and all who watch to do evil shall be cut off. So what is God giving to you? The wicked shall be cut off, says Psalm 39. But those who wait for the Lord shall possess the land. Yet a little while, there's that word we talked about last Sunday, right? There it is again. A little while, just a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look well at his place, he won't be there. But the meek shall possess the land. That's Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, right out of Psalm 37. The meek shall possess the land, the earth, and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. And what is the land? What does the earth mean? A little patch of Israel out there in the Middle East? It's the earth. It says in Romans 8, God, who didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? God, the meek and great and mighty King, gives to the meek of the earth, everything there is. Paul says of Abraham, the promise to Abraham and his descendants that they should inherit the world, say the world, didn't come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And Peter says, according to God's promise, we're waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And it's given to the meek of the earth. And think about it, Jesus saved us in meekness, didn't he? Amen. When he was reviled on that cross, he didn't revile people in return. When he suffered there, he didn't threaten other people, but he trusted to God who judges justly. He himself on that cross bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed, and you were all straying like sheep, we, myself included, but we've now returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls. Jesus saved us in meekness, didn't he? Amen. In the weakness, if you will, in the lowliness, I should say, of the cross, he humbled himself. And because he humbled himself, God therefore has highly exalted him to the highest place above every other throne and dominion and power in the world. And he's coming to rule again, to decide with equity for the meek of the earth and to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So take aim at this. What a joy it is that we have a king so strong and yet so kind, humble, gentle, friendly, and lowly towards us. And the earth shall be ours by his royal decree. Therefore, take this heart into yourselves, which you see in him, your king. For blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.